Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Bob Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We are so blessed that you're joining us today. Today, I have a very special guest for you. Antonio T. Smith Jr. is, how can I say this and communicate the awesomeness of how great God is? Antonio, starting off as a young childhood by being placed in child protective services at age six, failing fifth grade, sixth grade, in high school, he was mentored by someone who's seen his potential, and I'm not going to get into that story. I'll let him share it here in a minute, but it's a God-inspiring, awesome testimony, and to go from humble beginnings to what he does today, running an organization, the Antonio T. Smith Jr. Company, that specializes in connecting those who are separated from the church back to the church. He also helps them to experience financial freedom. He helps folks to develop high self-esteem. He helps people in their personal development, and he's able to help you if you let him, but I'm so blessed to have him on the program today. Matter of fact, I'm gonna let him announce it. So help me welcome to the program, Antonio Smith. Antonio, thank you for coming on the program today. I know you got a busy schedule going on right now, but I do coming on.
Pastor Bob, I sure appreciate you having me on, man. I love the introduction. Again, you always have me looking around for extra people, man. I sure appreciate you. Well, since you wanted me to announce it,
go for it, brother.
I am running for president of the United States of America. Yes,
there
I am.
There you go. Amen. Hallelujah. President of the United States.
Mm-mm. That's it, man.
Who ever
That's
thought
it.
You'd have done that when you first enlisted in the Army so many years ago, and now you're running the Army here shortly.
That's it, man. That is the plan. And right now, statistically, I'm the fastest growing independent candidate as well. So we're kicking up some noise and we're raising some money, and it's been a wonderful ride. And you, like you said, whoever thought, you know, the truth is, back in the year 2000, when I graduated, I wrote a letter to myself that I was supposed to open up in 10 years. Mm. And it said, hey, Tony, whatever you're doing, stop it. Because you're supposed to run for president and get your life together and make sure you have to do it. So I knew in the year 2000 that I would run for president. I didn't know it would be in this election, but I did know.
Amen. Amen. Now, for those that didn't hear our prior interview when you were on the podcast back in January, and if that's you, go listen to episodes 432, 433, and 434, because we did an extensive interview on Antonio's background and what he does now, helping people, like I did said in the intro. But, Tony, tell us in your own words, who is Antonio T. Smith Jr.?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm just a guy that's willing to die for unity. And that's, at the end of the day, that is actually who I am. I believe wholeheartedly that we are all connected. I believe that no one should suffer alone. And I'm just crazy enough to put myself out there in everything that I do, from business to church, finance, it doesn't matter. At the heart of me, that's who I am. Someone that believes that we are too divided. And I'm willing to do more than just complain about it. I'm willing to actually die for the unity that we so richly deserve.
Amen. Amen. Now, you're also the founding pastor of a church in Texas. Tell us a little bit about your church.
Sure. Yeah. It's the Church for the Unchurched is the nickname of the church. Officially, it's the Brook Kerith Baptist Church. You can find out about the Brook Kerith in 1 Kings chapter 17. I actually planted the church, and I planted another church inside of Darrington Unit Prison in Darrington, Texas as well. So I've planted two churches so far, and I intend before I die to plant 23 more. I want to plant 25 churches before I die. That is my plan. But that's about my church. We love the lost. and not just the lost. We love people that have been hurt by the church and now are offended by the church or separated from the church. And we, again, that's that unity thing again, right? I planted a church to go unify the church with the world. And that's always been at the heart of me.
Amen. Amen. And we covered a lot of this information in those prior episodes on the prior interview, folks. So go back and listen to all the details and what he was just explaining. He just briefly went over. We went into detail during our prior interviews on that back in January. But he also mentioned, and he didn't talk about what we just announced, the run for president, that he was transitioning the leadership of the church to become to a new pastor. He's still going to be in the church and overseeing it, but a new pastor taking on. And Tony, was all of this part of the transition we were talking about, part of what you're doing right now, but you just didn't say so?
It was a possibility. It was a possibility. I knew for sure that my time as pastor was done because I knew that I was going to be traveling. Mm-hmm. What you never want to do is you never want to give the church your scraps. And right. I knew that, you know, at this point in my life, I was going to be giving it my scraps if I didn't retire here in the next couple of months. Mm-hmm. In the back of my head, I knew about presidency, but I wasn't sure. In fact, I wasn't even thinking about this election. It was more of expanding the business and creating economies for people who don't have economies.
Yeah.
But as it so turns out, it seems as if God knew something before I knew it, which seems to be the way that normally works with me.
Yep, yep. And, you know, God's timing sometimes is not our timing, you know?
Man, tell me about it.
Because otherwise we'd be like, we'd be like Moses, you know, no.
Yeah.
No, definitely. I don't want to. But this is big news. I mean, now, your website says. Oh, and just last part about the church that Antonio founded. They're going to be on Evangelism Radio soon. We're working out all the details on that right now. So stay tuned because you'll be able to hear him preach when he comes back into town. And
you know, there it is.
The church is reaching the unchurch, and that's the whole purpose of evangelism, i.e. Evangelism Radio. Amen?
That's it. Amen.
Now, your website for your election run here talks about you're trying to help the 97% of Americans still living in poverty. I got a couple questions.
Yeah, man.
Why is this so important to you that you're putting your hat into the ring and campaigning for president on that issue?
You know, this is where we just have to be real blunt and direct. And now, let me just say clearly, I'm no longer in the 97%. According to my income, I've transitioned to the 1%. And I'm supposed to forget where I came from and not help anybody else out. Mm. And that is disgusting. Mm-hmm. The 97% is everybody who does not control this nation's wealth. And I'm so serious about that when I say that. And we know it. We know 1% of the world controls 96% of the world's income. And then you got another 2%. You know, they invest in stocks and, you know, their money makes money. And then there's everybody else. And by everybody else, if there's 7.7 billion people on planet Earth, we're talking 7.6 billion people left that do not control this world's income, and more specifically, America's income. And I'm talking to you. And I don't care if you're racist. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you do like me. Black, white, Jew, Gentile, straight or gay, we all fall into that 97%. And I am just very adamant about what we've done with the laws of America don't benefit the 97%. And these are decent people, right? I mean, this is your grandmother and your great grandmother, you know, your daughter and your son and, you know, the hardworking farmer. That the trickle down effect hasn't trickled down yet. The wealth gap is too large. The gender gap is far too ridiculous. And it's all sorts of stuff like that. So I don't want to take too long answering the question, but that 97% is everybody, whether you agree with me, whether you are, you know, prejudiced against anyone who looks like me or not, we're still connected. And we still owe it to ourselves to create an economy, a booming economy, for that 97%.
Well, the 97%, so you're talking on the worldwide basis, but how many, what's the percentage in the United States? I mean, you're running for president of the United States, and you know that's where the focus should be, is helping America, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely correct. There's 323 million people in America, pretty much. And so what you have is, when you just multiply that by 97%, you get 313 million people I'm talking about. Now, all of them are not voters, but they still have to eat. They still are part of this economy. Some of them are in prison. Now, you're in a prison economy, which is still part of the economy. But I'm talking about the 313 million Americans that understand it takes $17 an hour to be broke in America.
Amen. Amen. Now, I've done some research as well on, you know, the working age adults in poverty. This obviously doesn't take, you know, children or anything like that. But the millions of adults, this is from 1987, I think it was. I'm sorry, 1990. Let me see when this was. I got it. 2015. I don't know where I got 1987 from. I was still in the Army back then. But from 2015, it said the percentage of working age adults in poverty, working full time is 11%, working part time is 12%. That's 23% of working age adults living in poverty that still have jobs. And then full or part time that are out of the workforce. I'm sorry, well, the totals, that would be 77%, because the total is 100%, but did not work in the prior year is 63%. So the 23 and the 63 is what, 86% right there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you spent time out of the workforce, it's 13%. So if you total up all those numbers, you got 14.1 million. And then the ones who work full or part-time is 5.1 million. So that'd be 19.1 million adults. Like I said, that doesn't count.
Adults.
Those are just adults, yeah. Adult age adults who are living in poverty, even though they have full time or part time work. So, and I'll send you a link.
That's right. I sure appreciate it. Yeah, definitely send it to me. But that is a problem in itself. Now, that's just adults working, living in poverty.
Right.
Now, imagine the adults who went to school, who did exactly what they were supposed to do not to be in poverty, and they still do not get their fair share. Yep. That is ridiculous. As a matter of fact, according to CNBC, as of last year, the average salary of Americans is $56,516. Mm. Now, Bob, watch what I do with this number real quick. 56,000. I'm going to type it in my calculator live on air. 56,516. Now, America's going to pull out 15% for your taxes immediately. Yep. This is what it is. That's just how it works. So I'm going to divide that by 1.15.
Depending on what state you live in, there'll be more than that.
Exactly. So I just divide that by 1.15. Anyone who doesn't understand what I just did, I just took 15%, but instead of getting the tax number, I divided by 1.15 and it put a whole number there. Now I'm left with $49,144 left. Okay. This means that the average American is taking home conservatively $49,000. Now watch what I do with this. Okay. I just turned the dollar into 85 cents. Watch how far we go with this. Then, of course, you got your mortgage or your rent. And let's just be nice and say that there's not a single American on planet Earth that has their rent or mortgage over 25% of their income. Now, you know that's not true at all. Right. But let's just say that. No one's paying over 25%. So I'll just take this $49,000 and divide that. I'll take that $49,000 and divide that by 1.25. Now I'm left with $39,000 left. Okay. Now, let's take the car insurance and the car. All right. Now, most Americans live like this. Most Americans live one check goes to their mortgage and bills. The other check goes to their car and their car insurance. And we all can relate to that. And that's not fair. So let's just say now, since we get 25 for the house, we'll just do 15 for the car. No problem. I take this same number, divide it by 1.5 again. Now I'm left with $34,000. All right. No problem. We covered car and we covered insurance and we covered house. I haven't covered any utilities, that's nor right. have I covered food or anything. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're down to just $34,000. Now, imagine just for a second before I go further, if I told you the American dream was to live off of $34,000, you would be offended. Yeah. It would not be okay. Now, let's add in gas, because we all know, and I'm not talking about gas in the house, I'm talking about gasoline. Yeah. We all know that gas has become a bill since 2008. At this point, you have to budget gas. So we're just going to be nice. I want to say 15% of your income is going to gas, your morning commute, all that stuff like that. No problem. Divide this again by 15, by 1.15. Now I'm left to $29,000. Now, Bob, I'm going to be nice again. I'm going to say let's eat now, because I haven't even fed you yet, right?
That's right.
So let me feed you, and I'm going to be nice again, and I'm going to say, you know what? You are a minimalist. You only eat one chip a day, and we're going to take your food to 10%, okay? We're just going to say it only costs you 10% to eat in America. No problem, all right? Take this $29,000 divided by 1.1 again. $29,000. Hold on, I messed up on my calculator. $29,000 divided by 1.1. And now I get the number. Oh, I messed up. Hold on. $29,000, not $2,900. There we go. $29,000 divided by 1.1. Doing this live on air. $26,000 left. Now, this is insane, because when you take this $26,000 and do nothing else, I'm going to just simply divide this $26,000 by 52, and that's $506 a week. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what's happening to the 97%. Yep. They're living off of $506, and that's me being nice. That's you not having a credit card. You did not get a car note. You didn't do anything, right? You didn't borrow any money. You simply, the only two monies you borrowed was car note and house. Everything else, that was nice. But you pull away $506. I didn't even count the money you spend when you pay your money. When you spend money, you got a state tax. I didn't even count that. I just simply counted the federal tax. And it is a shame that I just took the average American, the tithe paying member, which I didn't even count tithe. I didn't even put that in there.
That's right. That's right.
The average tithe paying member in America is stuck with $506. And even if I made this up, which I did not, we all can agree it certainly feels that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the poverty level in America is only like, I think it's like 25,000 using government statistics. And you just blew through a real life scenario, not a government scenario.
Exactly. Exactly. I just blew through a scenario where someone didn't go to jail, did everything they were supposed to do right. They went to school, they got the degree, they went to a trade school, they did exactly what they were supposed to do.
We didn't even talk about student loan payments, did we?
Oh, man. No, we didn't even talk about that at all.
And those, the government definitely wants.
Exactly. Because the students owe those to the government. Mm-hmm. You know what, Pastor Bob, here's something. There's this lady I keep talking about during my rally. She's a real lady. She made me change her name, but she told me to tell her story. I call her Retired Victoria. It's not her name, but that's what we're going to call it. She told me that she feels like she can handle every emergency that arises in her life. She's 57 years old, but she doesn't have a car, and she lives in a rundown house that should be condemned. Mm. She has $600. She has a $600 a month retirement, and then she gets $3,826 a month. That's $3,826 a month. That's the average American retirement. Mm. But she says she can't move out of her rundown house and she can't buy a car, which would at least decrease her income by $1,500. And she won't be able to afford to live comfortable. So she's 58 years old. Excuse me. She's 58 years old. She has to depend on her grown 30-plus-year-old daughter that has her own life, her own marriage, all that stuff, to get a ride. And she misses appointments all the time because in order to afford the rundown house she lives in comfortably, she has to go without a car and depend on other people with lives. And that is another realistic story of almost every retired American today. Now, this lady, retired Victoria, she's Black. And we know there's a wealth gap, a gender gap between races. So if you can relate to Victoria and you're not Black, automatically you've been dealt a wrong hand by the lawmakers.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And it just seems to continue to get worse. The gap keeps expanding.
Because we're living longer. The average expectancy for a woman to live in America is 72 years, 8 months. I looked it up before this radio show. The average American woman lives 72 years. This lady's 58. At this rate, she has about 14 years left to live, but she will outspend her retirement in 7.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
What made you decide that this was going to be the focus for your presidential run?
You know what? That's a fantastic question. I don't think our politicians know this. It's like two things that's happening right now. And this is just using, what do you call it in school, probability and ratio or deductive reasoning. That's it right there. Deductive reasoning, okay? Either our politicians don't know it because they're not business savvy, or they know it and they're not doing anything about it. And that is why I decided to run. That's why my focus is on the 97%. That's why my focus is on this, the people who are retiring. I retired at 29, but I learned some financial principles that allowed me to do so. Baby boomers don't get a chance to learn these financial principles because you were raised, go to school, get a good job, and let you off on weekends, paying to retirement. Social Security is going to be there. As of 2 days ago, according to this recording, as of 2 days ago on this recording, CNN just reported that if we don't do something about Social Security in 2035, they would not be able to pay anyone. CNN just reported that. That's 2035. What's that? That's like 12 years from now. Or something. That's not that far.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some people are just looking at that as their retirement time. So, I mean, that's what they get to expect. Nothing.
And that's inappropriate, man. It's inappropriate. So I believe what made me want to run now is I don't think that our politicians can financially deduce what I just did with a dollar bill the way someone like me can. But there's plenty of me out there. We're just not in politics, right? It's plenty of me out there. Or if they can do it, because I'm not trying to insult anybody, then we have enough data to suggest they're not doing anything about it, which forces someone like me to run. Because if you're not going to do anything about it, you need to move out your seat.
Yeah, amen. Now, if you were to be put into, you know, the general election with, you know, the, like we talked about Ross Perot being independent, you know, 2030, whatever it was, and you're on the debate stage. You got the Republican candidate, which will probably be Donald Trump, a Democrat candidate, whoever that might be, and then you're in the middle, and each one of you gets your, you know, 60 seconds or whatever to talk about this, you know, the economy and things like that. How are you going to put that out there in response to what the traditional left and right commentary is normally, their talking points are usually going to be about? How are you going to be able to articulate this and just that, you know, 60 to 90 seconds that they're giving you, because you won't have time to run through the calculator and all that stuff. How would you?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Sound bite.
Let's play it right now. See, the problem is, if you give me a microphone, that's your problem. That's the problem.
That's true just about any pastor.
Yeah.
Me too.
You give me a, you understand, right? You give me a microphone, I know what I'm talking about. And you're going to let me speak. And I was captain of the speech and debate team, so let's do it right now. I'd be like, well, yeah, right? I really was. I went to state in 2000, right? Yes. So here we go. I'd be like, brother moderator, Bob, I sure appreciate your action with that. You give me 60 seconds, I'll give you back 30. Here's two things that we need to consider while running for the president of the United States. For one, Republican or Democrat, it's still one government. Therefore, the way that it's been run, it's either red control or blue control, but none of these controls have represented the 97%. With that being said, I can't relate to either party. Here's what I can tell you, and I can tell you clearly. I just got here. And not only am I the youngest person on stage, more than likely, but I just got here. So if there's any problem with America, I'm not the problem. I just got here. Any problem with America represents the people on stage that are older than me. And anyone in the 97% that are hurting, I'm not your problem. I just got here. Your problem is who you voted for. Antonio T. Smith Jr., I'm running for president. I represent the 97%.
Amen. Amen. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. That's great. Hey, look,
I never thought about that until you just said it, but that's the truth.
That's good.
I'm not the problem.
That's right. You're not the problem. You're the solution.
There it is, man. There it is. Amen. Amen. Oh, man. Your show is so excellent.
Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with this interview with presidential candidate on the independent ticket, Antonio T. Smith, Jr. Now, I've had Tony back on this program before. He's an excellent, excellent businessman, very successful, and he's now deciding to make a run for president of the United States. We've been talking today about what made him come to this decision, that this is the appropriate time to do it. And tomorrow we'll be concluding the interview with Tony as we go into some in-depth questions that, you know, the presidential candidate should be able to answer, and he gives us the answers. Praise God. He's a good friend of the ministry, and I look forward to you sharing this episode with all of your social media. Till tomorrow, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.